Broadway tickets at an all-time premium, what shows should you spend your money on? What should you see? And what's the leading drama critic of the New York Times really like? Come meet Ben Brantley on my original podcast, Let Me Tell You. I'm Joan Hamburg, inviting you to go to the OG Podcast Network and share the fun. Well, a holiday weekend is right here, and you are listening to the Joan Hamburg Original Podcast, Let Me Tell You, and I've got a lot of things to tell you. Come share my week, and speaking of weeks, it's Fleet Week. Very unusual that you see sailors wandering all over Manhattan, but there they are, looking like they're right out of a Broadway show. Anyway, you're going to enjoy the Navy's parade of ships right in New York Harbor. You can see them in Brooklyn and Staten Island along the Hudson River from Battery Park to a little south of the George Washington Bridge. It lasts through Monday, and go on to the IntrepidMuseum.org. So recently, a bunch of us went over to the Neue Museum and Gallery, NEUE. That's the Ronald Perelman Museum on 86th and 5th. It's a fabulous museum in a wonderful townhouse with a great restaurant and downstairs another cafe. If you just even want dessert, the best. But they have an exhibit called Eclipse of the Sun out of the Weimar Republic, and it's just fabulous. There are painters like Grossman, Beckman, and there's also a wonderful picture called Eclipse of the Sun, George Gross. So this is all part of something nice to do over the weekend. And you know, Shakespeare in the Park, it's free. Right now, Much Ado About Nothing, it's a great take on Shakespeare's comedy of romantic retribution and miscommunication. You're going to absolutely enjoy it. Go to publictheater.org because they'll give you all the information, tell you how you can get tickets. And speaking of Shakespeare, a place I love, the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival at Boscobel House and Garden in Garrison, New York. It's a beautiful town, and the festival is right on the Great Lawn of Boscobel House and Gardens, which definitely historic. You can go under the tent, breathtaking views of the river, picnic before the show, and they have a lot going on, really a lot. So enjoy it. And by the way, they're going to do their first ever musical, the Sondheim and James Lapine classic, Into the Woods. So go to hvshakespeare.org or call the box office 845-265-9575. It gives you something, a nice destination. So my daughter and I went to the spring gala at the Philharmonic. Patti LuPone is the star. The crowd, usually the Philharmonic, which is one of my favorite things, is very staid, though. You know, they do all the great stuff. The crowd is usually dressed to the nines, and it's a big deal, especially the gala. So we went to the Patti LuPone event, which was the gala. But this audience was very different from the usual Philharmonic. They were going crazy for Patti, and it was, I'd say, the majority of gay men. Everyone loved it. In fact, in the Post, they said a guest was overheard saying, "This is the only event where the men's line to the bathroom will be longer than the woman's." And I saw the one and only Andy Cohn was there. He just has a new baby. There were a lot. I didn't see Victor Garber, but they said he was there too. And then, right near the end of this event, Patty brings on Bridget Everett. I have to confess, I had not watched her work, but she is a big star. She used to open, or still does, as far as I know, for Amy Schumer, has a great voice. And she came out, she wore a dress, and she's a big girl, but looks great, wore a dress, only covered one shoulder, the other shoulder was bare. And as she walked out, honest to goodness, all of a sudden, the audience went crazy because guess what? Looked like it popped out of her dress, and she kept pushing it back. It was something else. But she went ahead, sang with Patty, Bridge Over Troubled Water. It was great and so much fun. So lots going on, but I'll tell you what. Let's go to my guest, Ben Brantley, who is the New York Times lead theater reviewer. And he's going to tell you what you should see. You know, at the Tonys coming up, everyone wants to go see the shows before they win their awards. So listen to Ben. He knows. I'm Joan Hamburg, and thank you for sharing our original podcast. Let me tell you, you're right where you should be at the OG Podcast Network. All right, everyone, welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show and the theater season, which has been fairly busy the last few months, is about to swing into high gear. It's already happening. Tons of shows are opening, and they want to open in time for the opportunity to get a Tony nomination. We always turn to our favorite theater person, Ben Brantley, who is the co-chief theater critic for the New York Times. And if you're traveling, you want to read Ben too, because he goes off to London, tells us what's great, because a lot of these shows land here. So I know that I've got so much theater in the next couple of weeks. So let's get started. We just had a show that opened the other day called Be More Chill, Kiss Me Kate, opening, Ain't Too Proud, a million things. So, Mr. Brantley, good day to you.
Yes, good day. How are you?
I'm good. And you've got your running shoes on now, right?
I do indeed. Yeah, we're at the starting gate. I mean, as you say, things have been trickling in, but I mean, once April starts, it's the floodgates are open.
I know.
We're going to be deluged.
Everyone coming in. So you've seen a lot of this stuff already.
Yeah, well, I've seen the stuff that's coming from London,
right.
A lot of it. And one thing that is not opening on Broadway that opens later this month at the Park Avenue Armory is the Lehman Trilogy, which is wonderful. I saw it at the National Theater. It's 3.5 hours, three actors, including the great Simon Russell Beale, embodying the entire history of the House of Lehman, starting
wow.
at the moment when the first of the brothers set foot on American soil in the 1840s, and traces it all the way to the collapse of the financial house. Mm. With these three actors, Simon Russell Beale, Ben Miles, and Adam Godley, playing every one of them, oh. every one of their descendants, and everyone in their lives.
How
and
incredible.
Directed by the great Sam Mendes. So it's quite a night.
And, you know, and they're doing great things at the Armory.
They are indeed. It's really starting to rival. I mean, it used to be if you wanted to see sort of the cutting-edge European theater, you went to Brooklyn.
Exactly.
You went to BAM or St. Anne's Warehouse. And, of course, they're still doing quite well by that kind of material. But the Armory has shown some of the most interesting theater in recent years, including that great Yerma with Billy Piper.
Yeah, a real hit. So now the Armory is on Park Avenue and 67th Street, but we're going to take you back to Broadway, and then we even have a lot of very interesting off-Broadway things, but Be More Chill, you saw.
I did. I think it's aimed at a very special audience.
Kids.
It's one of those rare Broadway shows that is actually targeting people, I would say, not even like college students. I think it's much younger than that. And this is
show
that became a hit online before it ever was staged in New York because of an earlier production from Two River Theater in New Jersey, and where the cast album just streamed, I think, hundreds of millions of times before anyone actually even saw the show. It obviously touched a nerve among young adolescents. It's about, like so many other shows on Broadway now, including Mean Girls and Dear Evan Hansen, about the price of being popular in high school.
I know. Well, you know, and the thing is, once a topic seems to do okay, no one lets go of it.
No, it's true. I mean, Broadway has become sort of like Hollywood in that sense. If you see one thing's a hit,
they're all gonna do
aliens,
it.
You know, dancing with superheroes, you make a dozen more.
I know. Well, Kiss Me, Kate, which from my generation was a hit way back when,
yes,
right, is Studio 54.
And it's a lovely cast. It's, Kelly O'Hara,
who's
is one
so
of our
great.
Great interpreters.
She's great.
The American Songbook, and was wonderful in The King and I, was wonderful in Pajama Game, and now she's taking on yet another classic role with Will Chase as her sparring partner. And, of course, I still remember a fine revival, what was it, about 15 years
yeah.
ago with the late, unfortunately, Maren Mazzie, who was wonderful
yeah.
in that part, and Brian Stokes Mitchell. But this one sounds refreshing. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the interesting thing now is with musicals like Kiss Me, Kate, as with My Fair Lady and Carousel last season, is how do you stage shows in which men seem to dominate women in the era of Me Too? But I gather they have a few tricks up their sleeves.
Yeah. We'll talk about that once it officially opens. But Ain't Too Proud is getting a lot of heat, good heat.
Yes. It got a fine review from Peter Marks in the Washington Post when it was
there.
In Washington, D.C. It's another jukebox musical, which you might think you've had enough of, but hey, it's The Temptations. You can't get enough of The Temptations as far as I'm concerned. So
no,
and
if you ever watch the Grammys, you learn what the role of Detroit was in the early days. It isn't Detroit of today.
Yeah, and we've had that material covered
with
the jukebox musical Motown.
Exactly.
Before, which I believe is playing in London now rather successfully. But, it's one of those things where if you hear the name Temptations, just certain songs start playing in your head. And this, no doubt, will pick up on that. It'll add more to the echo chamber.
Well, we like that. And, of course, Glenda Jackson is coming into King Lear.
I'm so looking forward to that. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see her when she was doing it in London in Deborah Warner's production. This is a brand-new production directed by Sam Gold, who did very interesting things with both Othello and Hamlet and off-Broadway, starry off-Broadway productions. But Glenda Jackson, who is, 83 now?
Unbelievable.
And just has the energy and strength of a...
And memory.
Oh, incredible. Can you imagine
all
of that? I interviewed her last year, just before she did
Tell
Three
me.
Tall Women. And I said, well, she said at the time, she said when she was doing Lear in London, when they decided to do an 8-performance week, she said, I think people were just waiting for me to die. But she said the one time she ever felt sort of low on energy was the one day, the Sunday, when they didn't perform. She said it's a play that gives you such incredible strength because it's such an energetic play.
But she really is a miracle. We've all seen, they don't even have to be old. Yeah, I've been to performances where I'll hear line, someone forgets. And here's a woman who just sails through this. Of course, Nathan Lane is back in town with Gary.
Yes, indeed. And it's sort of, it's a good segue in that not only is he a star of incredible magnitude, but an utter professional. But he's doing a play that takes its cues from Titus Andronicus.
I know, Gary.
Gary. It's by Taylor Mack, who is one of the great subversive talents of recent years. And it's thrilling to see some. He's most famous for a 24-decade history of pop music?
Yeah.
Which was a marathon event. And he blurs boundaries between genres and genders, and it's exciting to see someone like him on Broadway the way it was when Ivo van Hove staged those two Arthur Miller classics a few years ago to such acclaim.
No, and we're always happy to see him. And, you know, I had a friend call and say, if you go see What the Constitution Means to Me, I've got to see it. What do you hear?
Oh, yes. It's so much of the moment. It's essentially one woman. I mean, there is another actor, and then there are two young actors at the very end. Heidi Schreck, who used to make her, she actually put herself through college by participating in debates about the Constitution. And this is her, some 20 years later, thinking about, what was I saying? Now, I know all this, but how is the Constitution really working for me and other women these days? Very articulate, very
exactly.
Smart.
Exactly. And perfect timing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw it just as the Scowcroft endings were, hearings were ending. So it seemed like an immediate response to that.
I know. But, you know, I'm looking at all the openings of the list, and Oklahoma, too, which is getting a lot of conversation, some controversial, some I can't wait to see it. Did you see it when they brought the new version in?
Oh, well, I saw several. I saw it first at Bard in the summer a couple of years ago, and then I saw it when it came to St. Anne's Warehouse. I mean, I love it pretty much without reservation. It's a very radical approach to Oklahoma with a limited cast, a small band, not really an orchestra, and yet it captures so much that you didn't even know was there and realize now that was there. I think it's wonderful. One of those sort of deconstructions that doesn't take away from the original, but only enhances it.
I can't wait. And, yeah. Of course, Hillary and Clinton, if we haven't had enough politics all day long.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Well, this is Lucas Hanath, I mean, who did the A Doll's House Part 2, which was
we loved.
Extraordinary. And it's Laurie Metcalf again.
So it's got to be
John
good.
Lichow. I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's a wonderful thing on paper. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. This is from an earlier Slider play he'd done some years ago, but it'll be interesting to see what it has to say about the moment we are in politics right now, too.
We can't even. It's like if I watch another panel with all these talking heads, it makes you want to scream.
It's can't be avoided, can it, this conversation?
I guess not. But the problem is it's the same conversation over and over again.
I saw a play in London when I was there last month called Shipwreck by Anne Washburn, who had written Mr. Burns,
right.
I very much admired. And it's really just, six people on stage discussing Trump and the people in a house in upstate New York where the electricity fails and it gets more and more surreal. And at first I thought, well, wait a minute, I've had this conversation. I hear this conversation all the time. But she spirals it into such realms of fantasy and even kind of surreal terror that it's gripping. And when theater is most satisfying is when you're looking at something you think is so utterly familiar,
right.
And suddenly it just keeps opening doors of perception into depths you hadn't realized were there. And that's always thrilling.
No, without question. Now, also, we've just touched upon, there's more coming in, but interesting premise. Do you pronounce it Hadestown?
Oh, Hadestown.
Hadestown.
Yes, that's Rachel
Orpheus,
Kapkin, the director who's very hot right now. She did Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet
right.
of 1812. This is a musical about, it's the great myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, once again. And I did not see it in its off-Broadway incarnation. It has since been in London, where it was received, I mean, not quite with open arms, but certainly with interest. It comes from a concept album. It's a sort of folk opera by Anais Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And again, it's good to see Broadway embracing something beyond the usual orthodoxy.
No, I like that. But you have Lamford Wilson bringing in Burn This.
Burn This, yes. And it's Adam Driver who's playing the part that made John Malkovich a star.
He's so hot now.
Oh, yes, yes. And Kerry Russell, fresh off The uh-huh. Americans. And it's... I saw a revival the Signature Company did some years back, and I wondered how it would hold up. But it's emotionally, it's so powerful. It's about loss and love and erotic attraction, things we can certainly all identify.
That's
with
for
no
sure.
Season.
And of course, a lot of listeners are asking me about Tootsie because that was something that people loved from that movie.
I know. It's a movie we all have a lot of affection for. And this has gotten good notices out of town, Chicago. It's got Santino Fontana in the Dustin Hoffman role, a very appealing actor. And it's got a score by David Yazbek, whom, you know,
we love him.
Yeah, we can't get enough. And if for those of you who are interested in matters media and how this whole tabloid culture began, we have a play about Rupert Murdoch in
the
early days in London called Ink by James Gray. And I saw it in London.
Tell me.
Oh, it's great fun. It's Bertie Carvel, whom we last saw on Broadway, I believe, as Miss Trunchbull in the musical... Matilda is playing Murdoch, and it's not a grotesque performance. It's actually a very interesting, very shrewd performance. I know when I was in London at the time I saw it, Jerry Hall, Mrs. Rupert Murdoch, went to it and said, "Yeah, you know, it's not so off base." So from her lips to your ears.
All right, we have to see. And Beetlejuice, which truthfully, when I heard about it, I thought, but you never know.
You never know. Alex Timbers is a fine conceptual director. The young man who starred in School of Rock is playing the Michael Keaton role, I think. It could be fun. It received very mixed notices in Washington, but I'm sure they've had time to retool it.
Right, fix it up.
And you never know. I mean, the most unlikely...
can make it.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a lot to look forward to. Tony season is right here. Ben Brantley filling us in on all the new shows, and this is a good time to go and get your tickets. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for having me. Good to talk.
Anytime. We'll talk soon. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC.